Last time we had discussed stories about Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, about how poor he was and how the whole world was sustained in his merits, and how his wife once lit the candles with vinegar by mistake, and he blessed it and they remained lit. So one time his wife said, it's too tough being so poor. So she said to Rabbi Hanina, ask God that he should give us a little bit of our portion from the world to come. It's too tough living this way. So, you know what? If the wife says it's too tough, so who are we to argue? So he listens to her. So he turns his eyes to heaven and he prays. And a gold foot of a table comes down from the table he was supposed to have in heaven. And that night, he has a dream. And he sees gold tables. All his friends have gold tables. And he has a table that's missing one leg. And he awakens in the morning and he tells his wife the dream. And she says, oh, that's what it's going to look like in the world to come? All the rabbis are going to be sitting on these tables with all their gold legs. And we're going to be missing one? So ask God to take the gold leg back. So Rabbi Hanina prays to heavens. And the gold leg of the table goes back up to heaven. And our sages say that the second miracle is greater than the first one. Because in heavens, they give, but they don't usually take back. So there are all kinds of stories about the pious. about Rabbi Hanina, this pious person, there are all kinds of stories. Chazal say that whenever he'd pray, so his prayers were answered. There was once a drought, and when he prayed, so whenever there was a drought, it would rain. It was raining once, and he was traveling. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, and he was suffering. He was suffering in the rain. So he raised his eyes to heaven and he said, the whole world's happy now. There's rain for the whole world now. Things are good for the whole world. And Hanina has to feel bad. So the rain stopped. He comes home that night and he says, the whole world's going to suffer now and I'm going to have it good because I'm at home. So the rain started coming again. So he was a very, very pious person, and God treated him in kind. But you see that even though his prayers were answered to the extent that he can make it rain or stop raining, the life he lived was a life of hunger, a life where he didn't have clothing. He was lacking everything worldly. As much as God loved him, that didn't mean that he had it easy in this world. When it came to material goods, he was lacking. So, a person has to remember all the things we discussed earlier and not be upset when things are difficult for them. He has to know that he'll have more wages, he'll have more merits. God is going to pay him back more. Our sages taught us, whoever is rejoiceful, even though he has difficulties in this world, he brings the redemption in the world to come. Our sages told us the pious, they do out of love. And even though they are afflicted, they are happy. About them, the verse says, the ones who love Hashem are like the sun, that as the sun goes through the day, it gets stronger and stronger. And a person has to know that God knows what's best for us better than we know what's best for us. And God, when He makes it good for the wicked in this world, it's so that in the world to come, they'll be on the bottom step of Gehenna. As the Pasuk says, there's a path which seems straight before a person and ultimately it leads him to death. And the tzaddikim, they will sometimes suffer afflictions in this world so that they'll inherit more in the world to come. As the Pasuk says, if the beginning is difficult, then the end is very, very great. And so, we're going to begin, Rav Nissim Gaon says, to recount stories of people whose beginnings were minimal, were difficult, and the end was very, very great, because that's the purpose of this book. Our sages tell us that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua were going up to the Beis HaMikdash on one of the regalim, one of the holidays. And it was the eve of Yom Kippur. It was the eve of the great fast of Yom Kippur, and they're on the Temple Mount. And the angel comes near them, and he's carrying a white robe and he's shining like the sun. And the robe didn't have, it wasn't sewn around. It wasn't closed well around the neck. So they said, this robe is for one of us. So they come to the angel and they ask him, who's this robe for? And he says to them, for you guys, there are many more and more honorable robes than this. But this robe is for a man in Ashkelon whose name is Yosef the musician. So they went their ways, and when the holiday was over, they went together to Ashkelon and they wanted to see this man. They come to Ashkelon, and the people in Ashkelon were rejoicing towards them. They were happy that such great rabbis came to them. Each person wanted to merit that they should be his guest, and they refused. They said, we're only willing to stay by the house of Yosef the musician. So the people followed them, and they took them to the house of Yosef the musician. They come to the entrance of his garden, and they see him collecting vegetables. They greet him with peace, and he greets them back with peace. And they say, we want to be guests by you. And he says to them, my rabbis, you left all the wealthy and honorable people. You came to me. God knows that all I have is two loaves of bread in my home. So they say, whatever you have, that's good enough by us. We don't want to trouble you for more. So he places the food before them. They eat the bread. They drink water. They bench. They make the after blessing. And they tell him, you know, we came to you and we didn't go to anyone else, so tell us please, what do you do? So he says, my rabbis, you see, I'm very poor. The only thing I do is I tend to my garden. I'm sorry, I got confused. It's not Yosef the musician, it's Yosef the gardener. I read it as Nagan, it's Ganan. Yosef the gardener. All I do is I tend my garden. So I have no other job. So they say, nonetheless, tell us, if you do this, have you been doing this from the time you were a youth? So he says, if you want, I'll tell you my past, I'll tell you who I am, I'll tell you everything. The truth is, my father was one of the great men of the city and the wealthy of the city. He passed away, and I lost all the wealth. The people of the city saw me, and they kicked me out, they hated me. I left the city, and I wept. And I built my house out here, and I planted this garden. I planted vegetables, and whatever I find in the garden I sell. Half I give to tzedakah to the poor, and half I sustain myself and my family. So they told me, you should know that Hashem will give you great wages, many, great, great wages in the world to come. We saw an angel, he had a white robe ironed for you, and the angel said, it's for you, but it was missing the rim around the neck. So we came to tell you that God's going to give you a lot, and you have to do something better, maybe you'll be able to add. So he blessed them and they went their way. He told his wife, I heard what the rabbis said. She said to him, I heard the rabbis. They said, you're missing the top of your robe, the where it's supposed to be sewn around the neck. So listen to me. Let's finish up that robe. So she says, you speak like the kind people who give. But you know I'm so poor. What am I going to do? So she says, listen, my master, listen to my advice. Things will be good for you. Sell me in the market, sell me, the wife says, and take the money you get for me and give it as tzedakah. Maybe then we'll finish your robe. So he says, I'm scared. Maybe the one who purchases you will seduce you. Maybe he'll rape you. I'll lose the whole robe. So she says, I swear to heaven that such a thing would never happen by me. And he listens and he sells her and he takes the money and gives it to tzedakah to the poor. The master sees her beauty and he wants to take her, and he can't. She refuses. So he puts her in charge of one of his storage houses and gives her the key. And she tells him, my master, I'm not fit for you. So he wanted to take her and she refuses. So he's very upset. And he gives her to the shepherd and he tells the shepherd, seduce her. So the shepherd tries and she refuses, and he starts beating her, but she refuses. So he makes her life bitter. She works hard and she's always praying to heaven, save me from this situation. Days pass, and one day her husband gets dressed up and he comes to her and he finds her all upset, and she's lost her beauty and she's dressed in sack and working like a maid. And he says, do you want me to purchase you? I'll marry you. and I'll save you from your difficulties. And she says, my master, that's impossible. I'm a married woman. And he begs her and he begs her and he tries to convince her, I'll purchase you, your life will be better. And she refuses. And whatever he says, she refuses. When her husband sees that she's been so faithful to him, he knows that she's kept her promise, and he removes his costume and she recognizes him, and they hug and they kiss and they stand there crying together. And as they're weeping together, their sorrow goes up to heaven, and they hear a voice come out of heaven and say, hear ye, hear ye, your robe is finished, and your wife's robe is even better than your robe. Go to such and such a place and you'll find all the money that your father had, all his wealth that he hid. And he went and he found the wealth and he bought back his wife and continued doing tzedakah and chesed throughout his life. Here we see, says Rav Nissim Gaon, how much Hashem does kindness for a person who does complete tshuva and who calls out to Hashem with all his heart when things go bad. Mina meitzal, karatiyah, when things are difficult, I call out, and then Hashem answers quickly. And certainly a congregation who's in difficulty, Hashem says, I have affliction with them. I look at the pious. I'm close to those that call to me. And with God's compassion, He should save us from our affliction, Rav Nissim Gaon says, and we could definitely say it about ourselves. And Hashem should take revenge from those that we need revenge.